The title of today's message is called A Tested Faith. God has already spoken unto Abraham and told Abraham that through him all nations will be blessed. By his faithful service unto God, that would be accomplished. And so Abraham's already been chosen out of all the people to be that father of faith. However, there was a little wrinkle in the whole story because Abraham said, well, how can I be the father of many nations when my wife has not even had one child yet? It's kind of an oxymoron. It's kind of a testing of Abraham's faith. Amen? And yet God said, well, not to worry. If I proclaimed it, I will bring it about. What has God proclaimed to you that he would bring about? I'll tell you something that God has declared that he would bring to you and bring it about himself, and that's righteousness. A right standing before God and God alone. Abraham, you will be found righteous if you follow after me, if you'll be faithful to me. But Lord, my wife, we're old. Yeah. Guess what, Abraham? I've been around since you and even before you, and I will be after you. I am the God that transcends all age. You're not old, son. You are not old. Because in my kingdom, there isn't oldness. Although there are some mornings I sure feel like it. Amen? Amen? However, Abraham said, well, Lord, okay. I'll accept this promise that through me, I'm going to be the father of many nations. Well, we know the story. Abraham and Sarah waited. And they practiced. And yet, for 10 years, for a decade, no child conceived in her barren womb. The shame that Sarah had to live with, to be reminded every day that I have not borne my husband a son, to begin letting him be the father of many nations. And so Sarah thought in her mind, well, I'll give you my handmaiden. Since I am barren, you know, Abraham, go and lay with her, and if you conceive, then it's not you, it's me. So Abraham concedes to Sarah's plan. And he goes in and he lays down with Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden. And yes, indeed, she becomes pregnant. And she has a child. And they name that child Ishmael. Ishmael. Kind of a strange name, isn't it? And yet, this is a proclamation that God made over Ishmael. He said he will be a donkey of a man, unable to get along with anyone. And yet, all of a sudden, here is the promise of all of Abraham's wealth going to this one who would be at odds with everyone. Can you imagine the agony that Abraham felt? Now, the Lord, or Abraham, had taken things in his own hands, because up until that point, Abraham was questioning God. Well, Eliezer my servant, will he be the one who carries on my legacy? And the Lord says, no. One will come from your loins who will be the promised child. And by the way, just so you know ahead of time, his name is going to be Isaac. Isaac, Lord, that's kind of a funny name. Yeah, it makes you laugh, doesn't it? Because that's what his name means, son of laughter. Wow. So Ishmael is about 14 years of age, and he's growing into manhood. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to Abraham, and he calls him outside of his tent, and he says, Abraham, look at all these stars. Do you see them all? Yeah, Lord, it's a lot of stars. Yeah, well, Abraham, I'm going to make your descendants as many as the number of stars. How many stars do you count, Abraham? One, two. No, Abraham, forget it. You know the grains of sand that you're standing on? Yeah, Lord. Yeah, your descendants are going to number even more than the grains of sand. But they're going to come from your loin. In a year from now, I'm going to return, and your wife is going to have a son. Sarah, cooking up bread for these visitors, is in the tent. She hears this, and she does what? She laughs. And the Lord said, why is your woman laughing? And Abraham, in defense of his wife, says, well, you know, I'm 100 years old. She's 89, just about 90. And now you're going to bless her womb with a child? And the Lord says, is anything difficult for me? Think about your life right now. Is anything too difficult for God? You see, and I know I've said this before, but so many times we focus on our problem instead of focusing on our God. And our problem gets really big, and it somehow eclipses God's face from us and our understanding. And we need to operate in such a way that we remove that problem and make it smaller, and we make our God bigger. But that takes a discipline. Abraham, in a year from now, I'll be back and you will have a son. By the way, his name will be what? Oh, Isaac. Yeah, that's right, Isaac. Huh? Okay. So, a year later, the angel of the Lord appears to Abraham and to Sarah. And here's Sarah, 90 years of age. Loreen, would you like that news? All right, where'd that kid go? I know I put him around here somewhere. Oh, my goodness. Has anybody taken care of this child? So this is the promised son. This is a son of promise from God. Ishmael is now pushed aside. And in fact, there ends up becoming this argument going on between Hagar and Sarah. In fact, Hagar thought she was really something when she conceived of this child in the first place. She started getting real surly with Sarah, and Sarah sent her away for a season, and God said, hey, Hagar, what are you doing out here? Well, my mistress, I just cannot stand her. He goes, you go back and you serve her. And so for the sake of her son, because she's thinking, okay, Abraham's a very rich man, and my son Ishmael, he will get all of his wealth. Well, no, God had a different plan. Isaac, now the son of promise, the son of his wife, is now going to be the one upon who all the inheritance is going to be given unto him. Isaac. not Ishmael. Can you imagine how Ishmael might have been feeling, how his mother might have been fueling that fire of disrespect, of even hatred towards his now new little brother, half-brother? I can only imagine the tension going on in those tents. And finally, Sarah comes to her husband and she goes, you know, Hagar and her son, they need to leave. This is just causing way too much disruption in our tents. There is no peace here. So Abraham, even though it breaks his heart, Abraham says, okay, I will send her away and the child. Now understand this. Ishmael, when Isaac was born, Ishmael succumbed to the sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham, and that was to be circumcised. All of the men under Abraham's charge had to be circumcised. Every one of them. Ishmael was one. And the Lord assures Abraham, he says, now Abraham, I know how much you love Ishmael. He's your son. He's from your loins. However, he is not the son of promise. And Ishmael, he will become a great and mighty man of 12 tribes, mirroring what Jacob would end up being. Today, in our history, these are the tribes that are still at war with the Jews. And it all began because one man and one woman decided to take it upon themselves to fulfill the promise that God spoke instead of waiting in God's timing. To this day, the descendants of Ishmael are donkeys of men, and they are at war with all others. They will not get along. There will be no peace. That's why, to me, all these attempts to try to bring peace between the Israelites and the others, it will not work. Why? Because God said it would not. Amen? So, we have Isaac. Now, Isaac is grown up. And Abraham is teaching his son, Isaac, about the God that he serves. Teaching him how to sacrifice, how to worship him. Teaching him all the blessings of being obedient to God. And one day, it says in our passage, Genesis 22, verses 1 to 12, if you take out your bulletins, it's on the inside of them, if you want to follow along. Verse 1. God tested Abraham when he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So let's break that down. God tested Abraham. Notice it does not say God tempted Abraham. But God tested Abraham's what? His faith. He tests. Just as God will test our faith, folks. But God will never tempt us. That's the whole difference. When we are tempted, let no man ever say, God is tempting me. No, it is Satan who tempts you to sin. But it is God who will test the metal of your faith. Do you really believe in him and in his promises? Now, what does God say to Abraham? Take your son, your only son. What would that be in relation to? God and his only son, right? Take him, the one you love. Does God love his own son? Oh, you betcha. And go to the region of Moriah. The region of Moriah is the very area around Jerusalem today. It is that area. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. A burnt offering always meant it was a sin offering. What could possibly be wrong with God that he would ask for a human sacrifice as a sin offering? There has never been in any of God's economy a human sacrifice for sins, except his only son. But Jesus was not a burnt offering. You see, burnt means sin. You need to burn up those sins. He's asking Abraham to go and incinerate his son, his only son, whom he loves, Isaac. Would you be tested with that? Because I know Abraham was tested in that command. And yet, Abraham still remained faithful to God. In fact, listen to this. Early the next morning, verse 3, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And I am almost certain that one of those servants would have been Eleazar, his servant of promise, because Eleazar had been with him for a long time. In fact, Abraham was really close with Eleazar. He thought that he was going to be his heir of wealth. He takes two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, Abraham is 115 years old and he is out chopping wood. Dan, I don't want to hear about your back anymore, buddy. Maybe we just need to go out and chop some wood. No. Don't take that advice, please. Only if God calls you to do that. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. So God had told Abraham where he wanted him to go to. On the third day, isn't that just coinky dinky? On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, what? Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. We will worship. And then we will come back to you. What kind of an attitude did Abraham have going up to this mountain to sacrifice his son? He had faith, guys. He had such strong faith. We're going to go up. My boy and I, Isaac and I, we're going to go up. We're going to worship God, and we will come back. You see, that's Abraham standing on the promises of God. That might have been a better song to sing this morning. Standing on the promises of God, our Savior. Amen? Because that's what we have, folks. We only have the promises of God as our surety in this life. I hate insurance. But the law demands that I carry insurance on my vehicles. And on my house, it's only good because I'm still making payments on my cars and on my house. And so if anything were to happen to them as far as it would be a loss, well, then I would be covered by insurance. But nonetheless, I hate insurance. Anybody else in this room? Thank you very much. However, we are required to have this stuff. And yet the insurance that God gives us is even greater than the pieces of paper that men can give us and the promises that they can give us. Mr. Tijima, we will cover your house completely for the entire rebuild, for all the contents that you have within it. We will cover all those things. You will not have any loss whatsoever. If you only pay us this required amount every year. And by the way, we'll make it convenient for you. We'll break it down to where you can only pay it in two halves if you want. That way the pain of that won't hurt so much. And by the way, oh, you're a motorcycle rider? Oh, yeah, we've got an insurance for you. Let me see. We'll really have to bump up that bodily injury because we know it's you against steel, and you are not going to win. Yeah, that's going to cost you dearly, sir. Boy, I hate insurance. But you got to have it. I love the insurance that God gives us, though. Don't you? On the third day, he looked up. He said, "We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and he placed it on his son Isaac. What is this a picture of? Christ carrying the cross. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up. You got to love this boy. And he said to his father, Abraham, "Father," Abraham replied, "Yes, my son. The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Questioning his 115-year-old father. As to, did you forget something in all the preparation, Dad? And Abraham, how does Abraham answer him? Man, I love this story. I just love this story. Abraham answered what? God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. In other words, you know what this is saying? Isaac questioned his father, where's the offering? And Abraham reassures his son, God will provide that offering. You don't hear another peep out of Isaac. He's, okay, Dad, I'm down with that program. Now they get up to Mount Moriah, which, by the way, Mount Moriah just happens to be the same mount that the temple where Solomon erected the temple was built upon. Whoa. Isn't that heavy? The two of them go on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. So Abraham's busy. Isaac, he's like, you know, probably throwing stones. He's, you know, maybe helping his dad with pieces of wood or something. But then it comes down to it that Abraham looks at his son, those ropes that you had around the bundle of wood. May I have those, please? Sure, Dad. Here. Son, could you please turn around now? What? Son, I need to bind up your hands and your feet. Okay, are we gonna have a race, Dad? Is this my handicap? Because I can beat you down the hill, I know it. Yeah, son. He bound him up, and then he laid him on the altar. On top of the wood. And I can just see Abraham looking at his son, the son that he loves dear, his only son. Is it really his only son? No, he has another son named Ishmael. But this is the son of promise. This is the one that God ordained to be the son of promise. And he's looking at the son that he loves. And he takes a knife out of his cloak. He raises that knife. And I'm sure that Isaac is looking at his father right now going, "Oy vey, this is not going to fare well for one of us." And no, it was going to be for both of them, because Abraham's heart would have been severed right in two as well. And Abraham's just about ready to plunge the knife. The angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham! Here I am. Here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." How has your faith been tested? Has it been tested lately? People that you work with, someone that you might even live with, might really be testing your faith. Amen? Are you going to remain faithful to what God promises? God promises to be your strength, to be your provider, to be the one who will take care of you, even when you can't see any way out of the mess that you are in. Do you know that, church? Do you know it? Do you live it? Because it's one thing to give a mental assent to it, but sometimes we have to keep giving a mental assent until we start acting out that which we are telling ourselves is the truth. And we keep telling ourselves that truth. Oh, is there an adverse way of that? Oh, yeah. We can tell ourselves enough lies. And we start believing the lies that we keep repeating over ourselves. Oh, I'll never get out of this. Oh, I'll never have enough money for this. Oh, I'll never get that raise. Oh, I'll never get that promotion. Oh, I'll never get a husband. Oh, I'll never get a wife. Oh, I'll never, 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 never. And you put the ad at the end of it. And we declare these things as if our God's arm is all of a sudden shortened. You know, kind of like the alligator at the table. Remember that advertisement? He's reaching for the bill. Your God's arms are not too short. He is Jehovah Jireh. God's bank has not run out of any exchange that is needed. His coffers are full. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient for all of your needs. His love is greater, and he longs to lavish it on you, not just give you a little hug. No, he longs to lavish his love on you. Boy, aren't there times that we all just need nothing more than just that? We need to know that God loves us. God will test our faith. God will test your faith. But God will also provide the faith that is needed for you and your life. Do you believe it? I'm going to cut it a little short today. Because I think some of you really need to deal with these truths that you've been taught this morning. I think you need to sort that out with God. And as my brother Willie loves to say, I think you need to examine yourself to see if you really do believe that He is a God who will provide for you, that He is a God who loves you, who cares about you. Someone here, I don't know who you are, but the Holy Spirit does. And you need to know God loves and accepts you just as you are. But He won't leave you there. Because God loves you enough to move you closer to Him. Will you come closer to the God this morning? Will you offer yourselves up to Him again?